Nobody. One man can make.
Right here on the scene, putting the pot on in here. And we'd like for you to join in with us and have a ball. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to acquaint you with the Jazz Messengers. On the piano we have the incomparable Horace Silver. On the bass, all the way from Motor City, ladies and gentlemen, one of the youngest and finest bass players in the business today, our bassist, Doug Watkins. Doug Watkins. And on the tenor saxophone, we have a new star on the modern jazz horizon, Hank Mobley. Hank Mobley. And on the trumpet, we have a perennial favorite. It's with the prophet of modern jazz, Charlie Parker. He's our arranger now and our trumpeter. The uncrowned king, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Dorham. Kenny Dorham. And at this time, we want to do a little thing that was recorded before some of us playing up here got into the world. Beautiful thing entitled Salt Winds.
Thank you.
If she wasn't shedding her clothes for a living to some burlesque slow bump and grime, she was jumping out of cakes at bachelor parties, the girl in the dunk tank at the carnival, or someone was always sawing her in half. She was always dating gangsters who, despite popular opinion, never laid a hand on her, except when to slap her on the ass and call her toots. Guys named Johnny or Lenny, cared more about their cars than their girls, always checking their hair, a permanent sneer on their face, and a strong penchant for drugs, gambling, and strippers. They were never loyal and always had an ironclad alibi, while she was busy sneaking the pool man out the back door. And throughout all this, her fake eyelashes were always on straight, and her matte cherry red lips never smudged, like some X-rated cartoon, always filing her nails. And by far, she had the cleanest pool in town.
My About it, I can hear a word somewhere begin to sing about it. There's no love song finer, but how strange the change. From major to minor, every time we say goodbye. An air of spring about it, I can hear a lark somewhere begin to sing about it. There's no love song strange, the change from major to minor, every time we say And I don't stand a most of the chance with you. If you'd surrender just for a tender kiss or two, you might discover that I'm the lover meant for you, and I'd be true. But what's the good of scheming? I know I must be dreaming, 'cause I don't stand the ghost of a chance with you.
Again, this is KillRadio.org, KillRadio.org, and you're listening to Art Blakey and the Jazz Messenger. KillRadio.org, the world's most unruly radio station. Give us a call, 213-252-0998, 213-252-0998. Don't forget to write, "No War with Iraq," on the back of all your dollar bills. "No War with Iraq" on the back of all your $1 bills. And we have some, we have a couple guests in the studio tonight, and they're going to perform live. And if you listen to my show periodically, you'll know I always play Miss Iris Berry's CDs, Wordsmiths Iris Berry. And we have her in the studio tonight, her and her husband Tony, and they're going to entertain the internet airwaves. What we're going to do now, we're going to finish out a little more of the Jazz Messengers, go into some Jimmy Smith, and then we're going to go into Iris and Tony, and then we're going to have a little chit-chat with them. So let's go back to Art Blakey on KillRadio.org.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Hank Mobley. Come on, Hank. Give a big hand for Hank. Come on, good boy.
I would like to play, I think it's a very pretty ballad. It's one of my favorites. I hope you'll enjoy it also. It's entitled Alone Together.
Working, babe, and I'm gonna try it on you. Oh yeah, I've got my mojo working, babe, and I'm gonna try it out on you. Oh yeah, well I tried in New York City, oh now I'm gonna try it on you. Oh yeah. I got my mojo working, baby, and I'm gonna try it on you. Oh, rugalita, I'm got my mojo working, baby. Yeah, 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 I'm gonna try it on you. Well, I tried in New York City. Oh, no, I'm gonna try it on. Oh yeah, I'm working my Oh,
Don't you worry, baby. Oh, yeah. Got my Ruger lady working. Oh, my mojo. I'ma work my groove just on it. Hey, hey. Give me a chance on you. Oh, yeah. Well, my Ruger lady, hey. Oh, oh, baby, my thing. Oh, 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 yeah. Ruger lady working on you, baby. Oh, yeah. I got my Google dust on you. Ruger lady working now. Much more lifting. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, yeah. Hey. Regular later. Mojo, mojo. Much, 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 much.
I see you sitting, sitting in the glow of your computer, burnt spoon and needle at one side, and a loaded gun at the other. There's only one bullet in the chamber, and it's reserved for you. You're attempting to write the next great American novel, and I believe you will, providing you don't kill yourself before it's finished. It's a race, isn't it? Your conscience and your ego are at a dead heat, while your phone is ringing off the hook with calls from your agent in London and New York, all wanting to buy the movie rights. You were the first guy to ever buy me diamonds. I'm just wondering where the hell you got the money. Was it an insurance scam, phony credit cards, or your usual selling phony stocks to old people for their life savings? Well, all I can say is, it's only a matter of time for you, sweetheart. But if it's true that nice guys and gals finish last, then you can bet I'll be sitting in the last seat in the last row of the house that I more than likely bought at 100% markup, trapped between a noisy bathroom and a rank alleyway. But at least while I'm sitting on the lap of time checking my watch, I know you'll be mixing another shot of liquid comfort while running from that god-awful mirror called your conscience. There aren't enough opiates in the city of L.A. to make that reflection go away. But I know you. You're not a quitter. You'll die trying. Somewhere in Sacramento, California, at some well-known crash pad, sometime in the middle of the week and sometime in the middle of the afternoon, day and time customarily unknown to the residents of the house. The dishes haven't been washed since July, and it's September. Half-empty to-go boxes with two-week-old pizza and Taco Bell remains, 99-cent burgers from AM/PM, and empty bottles of plain wrap liquor and beer cans lay strewn across the kitchen floor, leaving not even a trail. In the living room, there's four guys who haven't slept in 3 days trying to pump life out of a keg that's been finished since the weekend. and two pit bulls gnawing on old rib bones. There's flies everywhere and it's hot. The Hickoids, Tales of Terror, Fang, and Johnny Thunders is blaring out of beer-soaked speakers that periodically keep shorting out. The TV is on, but the sound is off, showing Blue Velvet for the fifth time that day. Must be another Frankfest. And in the middle of all this, you're locked away in the bathroom like punk rock royalty, sitting on your throne, jacking off to my picture in Flipside magazine for the second time that day. Thank you. I feel honored.
Yeah.
KillRadio.org, and that was Herbie Hancock, who you just heard. And I'm going to ask Iris to do a sound check on that mic.
Check 1, 2.
Okay, we can't. No, but I know how to bring you. I know how to bring you up real quick. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Now.
Check 1, 2.
You're on the air.
You got me?
Iris is on the air.
Hello, everybody. Hello out there in Los Angeles land.
In Los Angeles land, internet land. And besides Iris, is sitting beside Iris is Tony.
Howdy.
You got to say it closer to the mic, Tony.
Howdy.
And that was Tony doing backup on the poetry, on the two really cool pieces that we heard earlier.
Thank you.
That was Tony doing backup, and that sounded familiar. I think I heard that on your CD. Iris, tell us a little bit about...
You did. You did hear it on the CD. My CD, Collect Calls.
Collect Calls.
Yeah, that's two pieces. The first one was is called Ode to Sammy Glick, and the second one's called Punk Rock Royalty, and they're both on my Collect Calls CD.
Which is, we have that CD in the studio, and I'll play a little bit of it. Has a great cover that Tony designed, but... You know, I haven't played that much of that CD. I played your other CD to death.
Oh, thank you. Know,
you. And I want to ask you some questions.
Life on the Edge in Stilettos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you talk about you and your mom going to the Hollywood Bowl, I can almost see this woman in a go-go dress with her little daughter going to see, was it the Doors?
It was Donovan.
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 Donovan. Tell us about that day at the Hollywood Bowl that you wrote that great poem about with your mom.
You know, it's funny because I wouldn't have written that piece, but Harvey Kupernick, who produced Life on the Edge, he forced me to do it. Well, forced. He recommended that I should do it. And I'm glad that I did because I still remembered it then, but now I don't think I would remember the details like I do because of that piece. And that was an incredible day. I remember, you know, just going there and being with all those hippies. You know, there was people next to us that had two broken legs.
Right.
Because they broke them dancing in the mud together at 11, like the day before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
I didn't grow up in Los Angeles. I didn't go to high school here. I couldn't imagine what it would be like growing up in this city, going to like hippie concerts with my parents. You know, what was that like? What was that?
Well, it was pretty wild. I mean, I have to say that it probably made me who I am today, which is, you know, I was completely inspired to do drugs and, you know, be part of that lifestyle. Unfortunately, I sort of missed the hippie boat because I was too young. But then there was the whole punk rock boat waiting for me. So, but I really fell in love with how crazy everything was and how free it was. And I just remember the Sunset Strip being packed, wall-to-wall people.
Right, right, right. I got out here in 73, and I caught a little bit of that. But again, I didn't grow up in this city. You, Iris, and another poet friend of mine, Steve Abey, you guys do the best descriptions of this city in your poetry.
Oh,
I love hearing both of you guys. It's like hearing you guys read is like taking a walking tour, you know. So you were born here.
I was born here, and so was Tony. We're both natives.
Okay. Tony,
from Los Angeles.
What part of the city are you from? What high school did you go to out here?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Yeah. You're a Valley guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm a Valley girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were both from the Valley. I was born in Pacoima.
Okay.
I was born at St. Joe's Hospital in Burbank. And
Richie Valens' hometown.
Yeah, homeboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And made my way out here, you know, when I was old enough to, like, hop on the bus. I came straight to Hollywood Boulevard, you know, where all the trannies were. And
right.
You know, and the weird thing is we were driving over here, and it took us 3 minutes to get here from Burbank. We live, like, in Burbank.
Iris lives in Burbank now.
In the shadow of Forest Lawn, the cemetery. We live right by off the cemetery.
That's a good shadow to live in.
It's a good shadow. And there's a lot of shadows there, let me tell you. A lot of moving shadows. But on the way here, the freeway was free and clear. And we both looked at each other and were like, it took us 3 minutes to get here.
Cool.
And
cool,
we were
cool.
Like, what year was it when you could just drive this freeway and it be like this? Because it's never like that anymore.
Yeah, the best time to travel for everybody listening around the world who's not in L.A., the best time to travel on the freeways in L.A. is either early in the morning or late at night. Don't travel during rush hour, you know. So when Iris and Tony go home, they're going to make it home in 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
You know, even though I said I listened to that album, your other album, a lot, I did. I haven't played it recently, but you did a poem on there for your dad that was really touching.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
It was really touching.
Thank you.
What a tribute to him. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah.
I didn't bring that CD with me.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I wrote that poem right after he died in a car crash. He was on his way to get me for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in an accident and the hospital called me and all they had was my phone number. It was kind of like a 50s song. All they had was my phone number and address in his pocket. And they're like, oh, we have a John Doe here. And, you know, he was just an amazing man. He used to take me on tours of the city when I was really young. We'd start at the beach, mm-hmm. and he'd take me from Sunset all the way down to downtown L.A. and give me, you know, a righteous tour. And we'd end up on Skid Row, and he'd give me money to give to the bums.
That's right. Yeah, you were the one. That's where I heard that story. I was wondering where I heard that story.
Yeah. That was from
Iris, if your dad was around today, and I mean his spirit is just looking down, I mean, I'm sure he would really be proud, because what a homage that piece was to him. You know, I mean, I'm sure he would really be proud of you, you know.
He was a real Damon Runyon character, definitely.
Right out of Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, right out of Guys and Dolls, definitely. Yeah. And he, you know, he was a guy who really loved a big city.
Right.
So I feel really lucky.
Are you guys doing anything? Tony, are you guys going to be performing anywhere? Yeah.
What am I doing?
Midget Handjob with Keith Morris.
I'm Midget Handjob. I know about those guys.
Yeah, I play with them.
I didn't know you were in that. Iris, he never told me he was in that band.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been together about 3 years.
But tell them about the record that you did for Epitaph.
We did a record for Epitaph, but that was like ancient history.
I know, but tell them, well.
Well, can we get it in the Kill Library here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's called, I forgot, Midnight. What is it? Midnight Snack at the Poodle Factory.
Midnight Snack Break at the, I'm like a stage wife. Midnight Snack Break at the Poodle Factory. But the best thing about that record is that it only sold 100 copies for Epitaph Records. It's like the worst record they ever, the least selling record they ever made, and they're really proud of that.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to get it in the Kill Studios.
Yeah. Exactly. There was the old Epitaph website used to have people used to live. They had a message board, and we used to get reviews from different kids. And one of the kids wrote, "This album is so bad, I'll never get a boner again."
As long as I live.
Yeah. I was at some party. No, some friends of mine were putting on a big show about 3 or 4 years ago, and Midget Handjob was on the bill.
I
can't remember where it was, but and you guys are another band called Weezer. You guys are playing with a band called Weezer.
We were?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure Weezer was on the bill, and that was the first time. And I said, there can't be a band named Midget Handjob.
Yeah.
Try telling that band name to your mother.
Beg pardon?
Try telling that band name to your mother. She's like, oh, I'm like, Tony's band got a record deal, Mom. She's like, oh, what's the name of it? And I'm like, I called a friend and had my friend tell her. And she's in the background going, what is it, Vaginal Itch? I read the Weekly.
What did she say when you said Midget Handjob?
Yeah, what did she say?
Oh, that's interesting.
So where are you guys at? Where can we catch Midget Handjob?
You know,
where can we catch a Midget Handjob?
Okay. The last show we did, I don't know where the next show is. If you go to our website, I always post when our next show is. Keith doesn't tell me sometimes. So last one we had was a couple weeks ago at Spaceland for a Clean Needles Now benefit with
Kill people go to Spaceland. That's in our, we're all and one family.
It was good, but I don't know the next show. Sorry to say.
There's a bunch coming up, though.
Well, what's your website? Let's tell our audience your
MidgetHandJob.com.
MidgetHandJob.com. We got that. Okay, we're going to go back to a little Herbie Hancock. We're going to go back to Herbie Hancock. And then after that, we're going to, after Herbie Hancock, we're going to play some of Iris's CD. And then Iris is going to read over Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane and Chet Baker. And let's go into a little bit more of a Herbie Hancock. Iris, talk to the audience while I fumble with the board here.
I'm also in a band these days called Leather Moo Moo.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, cool. Actually. We've got like about 6 go-go dancers, and there's 3 girl singers, and a lot of leather and Hawaiian.
Cool. Leather Moo Moo. And we'll keep the Kill Radio audience abreast of that. And let's go into back to Herbie Hancock.
And all the city streets of all the cities, and the jazz and the poetry of the downtowns and the uptowns. For Sunset Boulevard in the rain, Hollywood Boulevard at twilight, and Wilshire Boulevard at dawn. For the Pacific Coast Highway, Union Station, and the view from Mulholland Drive, both sides, the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles. For jazz gliding its way down translucent highways at 1 a.m. through the steam of car headlights and the pouring rain. For making me feel clean when I was dirty, and for the fantasy that my life was somehow better than it was, and for the romance when there wasn't any. For crazy but surprisingly smooth hungover mornings when an all-nighter should have been painful. For the lengthy warm Santa Ana summer afternoons, overlooking a city from a dingy apartment with only the view and you to save it. Thank you, Henry Mancini, for those ephemeral evenings draped across Hollywood at midnight like a ghost town, timeless, glamorous, and still. For the exquisite and the calm, and for the clean and regal lift of elegance onto a stairway of stars leading to a luxurious and illustrious world where nothing earthly can touch me. Thank you. Distance, a perfect rhythm with the washers and the dryers. As
as the stripper methodically folds laundry while her wordless boyfriend sits washing with a glazed look as if he'd done one too many whippets, along with a thousand other things trying to shut off his brain. Their chihuahua, Tyson, keeps licking my toes as I fold my laundry. It's 3 p.m. The air is hot and still in the laundromat. As I look around, the muscle guys joke and check out girls, Latino women and their bambinos doing laundry for all their ancestors, middle-aged women in glasses with wide asses, work at not making eye contact. A 40-something mentally challenged son with the help of a 70-something mother. We are all regulars here, regulars who never speak. Just come and do our laundry, this small but common bond. And for a moment in time, I can't imagine wanting to be anywhere else.
Deep is the midnight sea. Warm is the fragrant land. Sweet are your lips to me.
The sun was shining and the palm trees were stretching and glistening from Las Feliz to Franklin, all the way down Vermont Avenue that day. We took a ride on Franklin to the Cedars of Lebanon Hospital, where a Scientology building now sits. My grandmother lived right across the street. All her friends back in Brooklyn were envious because she'd moved to Hollywood. Moved to an old building that smelled, with no Hollywood glamour that I could see, with musty dark hallways and a clankety-clank elevator. That elevator scared me. I'd just seen the movie Hotel, where the elevator plummeted to the ground and squished everyone that was inside of it to their deaths. I hated my grandmother's elevator, and I always took the stairs. Everyone made fun of me for doing so. She was sick that day and staying at the hospital. My mother had me wait. She had me wait in the lobby while she went to visit my grandmother in her sick bed. I waited in that lobby alone. And when my tooth came out, it just snapped. Snapped off in a most unnatural way. Blood came pouring out and I felt sick. Sick because I was alone with no one to tell me it was gonna be all right. Sick because I was alone in a hospital where they tended to people who were bleeding all the time. Couldn't anyone see that I was bleeding? Even at the young age of 5, I could see the irony in this all. She was the kind of girl who'd start and end her day sporting black patent leather stilettos and tight black capris. Circa Anne Margaret, Viva Las Vegas style.
You might discover and I